What have you been seeing recently then in terms of values that you think will be informing our future that could be helpful to think about in 2011?
Yeah, I think, well, one of the big shifts is certainly away from an emphasis on material goods consumption. And, you know, part of that shift is, you know, so instead of buying things, we want experiences. And I think another way that's manifesting, and we got this from one of our APF colleagues down in Australia. We called it enoughness.
Enoughness.
It's this sense that, you know, I have enough stuff, and I want to get back control of my life and my time, not just my financial, but my sort of control of my time. And you know, I want to stop, reassess where I'm going, what I'm doing, what my priorities are. And, you know, the recession has certainly given some, you know, real life urgency to that question. So that's kind of where we're seeing people now, and that kind of rethinking, you know, what am I doing with my life and where do I want to go from here?
There was a study, and I don't know the exact nature of it, but they asked college students if you could have a choice of two different kinds of lives. Earn $50,000 a year and get 8 hours sleep a night versus earn $100,000 and get 4 hours sleep a night. And most of them chose the 50, a life that was somewhat more contented and less economically prosperous.
Well, and that's very interesting. Again, we're talking with Dr. Peter Bishop and Andy Hines, both of the University of Houston's Futures Studies Program. If you're trying to separate the two out, Dr. Bishop sounds vaguely like Dennis Weaver whenever he talks. So,
you know how to flatter a guy. Ian.
Well, I just, you know, for people trying to check who's saying what. But sorry. So then again, though, how does that inform economically? Say somebody has a small to medium sized business, or they have 10 to 15 employees. How can information like that you're gathering about how people are thinking about their individual future and then also the collective future for the society they want to be in, how is this enoughness concept, how will that be helpful for people in anticipating change in the future?
This is Andy. One thing it's for the small business, it's actually, you know, the globalization and communications technology are making it possible for small businesses, somebody working out of their home office to be serving customers literally around the globe. But I think that for the small business, that's actually it's a fairly natural transition. The ones that are having trouble are the big multinationals. You know, the whole premise of most big multinationals is next year is going to be bigger than the previous year, which was bigger than the previous. You know, the whole assumption is based on continued growth, and for them, and those have been a lot of our clients. Futures business, and we've been, you know, trying to get them to think about what does an economy look like that isn't automatically getting bigger every year, and how do you change your business model to serve that? And it can be done, but it's different, right? It's a different paradigm, if you will.
And this is Peter. I think based on what Andy said, if I were a business person and I were in a material business, I was selling stuff. On the other hand, I would also emphasize the experience of buying that stuff and having people in relationship with me, and that giving them a good experience, and this is not new, this is brand loyalty, and this is customer satisfaction and customer service, but I would emphasize that at least as much, if not more so, than just the stuff I'm trying to sell them and getting money from them.
Does this speak to the success of the Apple products?
Well, they're certainly fiercely loyal customers. And, yeah, it is. In fact, it's the cachet of being part of that brand and part of the community of people that associate with that brand. Yeah, absolutely.
And that's really the business model for Starbucks. I mean, coffee is coffee, and their brand of coffee is probably better than what you get out of the grocery store. But they also are, their real brand is about the experience of a coffee shop and relationships and friendships, what people have come to call the third place. It's not home. It's not work. It's a third place where I can go and be with people in a different kind of a way. And if they didn't have that experience, you wouldn't charge a couple of bucks for a latte.